The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Today I'm going to discuss the seventh step of Anapanasati, the seventh step of breathing in and breathing out, the Buddha's teachings on breath meditation. And the way it's worded, it says one trains oneself. Breathing in, one experiences the activity of mind, the mental formations, the constructing activity of the mind. And in a simple way, it's just called the activity of the mind. Breathing out, one experiences the activity of the mind. And this is a really rich topic, what the mind is. The Pali word is citta, C-I-T-T-A. And it's a rich and wonderful topic, and I'll touch on some of it as we go along here. But in simple terms, in English, we might call it the mind. And but one of the main activities of the mind, for many of us, is thinking. And to become aware of thinking, and there's two different ways to become aware that I'm emphasizing here. One is to become to observe it, just to know it's happening, and the other is to really experience it, to feel the experience, to feel what it's like to be thinking, and both are important. And to learn to recognize and know and observe thinking is many times a stepping stone to feeling it and experiencing it more fully. So as always with this mindfulness of breathing, there's always this the rhythm, the background beat or the foreground beat of breathing that we're getting centered on and focused on and settling in on. And the breathing protects us a little bit from getting caught up in the world of thinking. To be resting or focusing or stable on the breathing, then as we're more and more stable, the more awareness can begin to open up and be more expansive, more inclusive, to be able to take in more and more what's going on. And with a stable presence, attention to breathing, it's possible to be aware of thinking without being bothered by thinking, without making it into a problem, or think it's wrong to think in meditation, or to be upset about it, or to call it even a distraction. And the reason why why it's easier not to be bothered is because there's not a very strong pull into that world. We don't get lost in it very much. But it's also true that even if we do get lost in it, we're better off not being bothered by it. Being upset, being agitated because we think is a recipe for perpetuating the thinking. The more agitated we are, the more the mind tends to want to produce thoughts and ideas, stories. And so the art of not being bothered, not being upset, not being attached to thinking, but also not being aversive to thinking, not making your thinking your very best friend, and not making thinking your enemy either. It's just thinking is happening, and to be aware of thinking going by. And the classic image in Buddhism is having thoughts drift by like clouds in an endless sky. It's just clouds. And I love the metaphor of clouds for thinking, because if you put your hand into a cloud, you don't get anything. Maybe you get a little bit moist. But, there's no solidity there. It's just like you can put your hand right through. And it turns out that thinking is actually less solid than a cloud. And there's no, it's kind of a virtual reality thing, the thoughts. But it's what we invest in our thinking, the attachment, the engagement, all the energy we put into it, that makes thinking sometimes actually more solid and more real and more important than almost anything else in our lives. we can get so wrapped up in our stories and our ideas and our thoughts. And the paradox here is that the more energy we put into thinking, the more we're trying hard to, you know, anxiously think or be attached to it, we actually think less effectively. The most creative, the most innovative, the most wise, the most loving, the most beneficial way of thinking tends to be without a lot of extra energy. There can be a choice to focus on some things to think about in daily life, but to do it with an easy, relaxed mind, and that ability to stay focused and very relaxed allows a thinking mind to be most productive, most creative. Maybe there are exceptions, but for many people, it's the exception to ever approach this idea of a creative mind that's relaxed, thinking, relaxed thinking. And so, to learn not to be bothered by our thinking is very important. One of the useful skills to learn in meditation. To have this wisdom not to be caught up in it or for and against it, to have a certain equanimity, and to be patient with the mind wanders off in thought, to keep coming back, starting over again. But at some point, now we're at the seventh step of Anapanasati, with the idea that seventh step, now there's some stability there, some centering on the breath, ability to stay with the breathing more continuously. And of course, that comes and goes, that ability. And many of us will start at step one of Anapanasati regularly, and like, oh, I'm just beginning. And that's completely fine. But at some point, as we settle in, maybe the end of a long sit meditation, or maybe, you know, the conditions come together, where there's enough stability here that we can become aware of thinking. And in a way that it's like clouds in the endless sky. There's a kind of almost, we don't get too caught in it, we don't get focused on it, but we are aware. And there's a few things that are interesting to notice when we can do this. One is to notice whether we think more in words or more in images. And some people, it's one or the other, and some people, it's some combination of both. And, but, you know, maybe one predominates over the other. And, because once you recognize what your primary quality of thinking is, you can investigate something more, and that is, where does that operate? So where is the, if it's a inner voice which is speaking, where's the loudspeaker, or where's the inner mouth that's doing the speaking, the vocal cord or something? Sometimes, and people generally feel it's behind their forehead. It's kind of somewhere in the area of what we call the brain for many modern people. In the ancient world, it seems, still to the modern world in places in Buddhist Asia, people associate the heart center with where they are thinking. and maybe some of you do as well. But I think a tendency in the modern West, at least, is to point to the head, and partly because, you know, the brain has such a big role in thinking that, you know, we gravitate towards there and associated with there. But, you know, the words might be spoken somewhere inside. Or if you're thinking in images, it might be like a scene just in front of you, even with the eyes closed. It might be like a projection screen or a scenery that's in front of you. It's kind of some directionality. It's there. There's a sense of watching it. And that sense of a location for the inner voice, if you can find it, or the directionality of seeing an image, is a means by which to start noticing the extra energy that goes into thinking. If it's an inner voice, there's often a kind of contraction and tightness and pressure if there's a lot of extra energy that goes into thinking. If it's a lot of imagery, there might also be a contraction or a tightness, but it might be in a different location. For some people, it might actually be around their physical eyes. Even with the eyes closed, because there's seeing of an image, there's a kind of a habit maybe of engaging the eyes to kind of focus on the image. And so there might be tension in the eye area. By noticing the location where thinking seems to be occurring, it's also possible to notice how much energy is being expended for this, and the emotions that might be connected to the energy. And so start seeing there's more to thinking than just the thoughts, more to thinking than just the images. There's the energy that's involved, the tensions that are involved, the pressure. There is the interest that's involved with thinking, the curiosity, the being glued or lobbed, locked onto it. Sometimes it can be the feeling. There can be some emotionality connected to thinking. Sometimes the emotions are the fuel for it or the source for what we're thinking about. And so it's possible to step back, in a sense, settle back, and just observe thinking, and without necessarily observing the content of the thought. The content is often not so important for the purpose of meditation, but the associated aspects of thinking, the energy, the tension, the directionality, the location, the emotionality to it, the interest we have to it, all those, not to study them and get too active, but all those you can step back and kind of observe, and that'll gives you access to the instructions to experience the mental activity. So in this case, to experience what it's like to be thinking, or to say it differently, to really feel it somatically, physically almost, even though it's mental. There might be some of the sensations of thinking. And this allows us to not be so, as the more we kind of disinvest ourselves from the story and the ideas, but without dismissing the thinking and the experience of different parts of thinking, thinking that by itself tends to become quieter and stiller. And as thinking becomes quieter and stiller, then we're maybe able to better, more fully, stay with the in-breath and the out-breath, focusing on the body breathing, and do so maybe with more sense of ease, more sense of well-being that comes along, just the simplicity, the contentment, being content, just to be present and breathe. More often than not, the discontent about life and the impatience belongs to the realm of thinking, or fueled by thinking. So, this is not an instruction to get really busy, to notice and focus on thinking, but rather to stay with your breathing and not be bothered by it, don't be troubled by it, but as it becomes relevant, to touch into to begin experiencing, feeling what's happening as you breathe. And maybe with the idea that you're breathing through the thinking, breathing with your thinking. So the breathing supports you not getting caught in whatever you're thinking about, but you can just observe it and feel it. So may you develop a new relationship with your thinking. Don't assume that the way that you think is the way it has to be. There might be wonderful, delightful, relaxing, creative, and wise ways of thinking that take a very different form than how you're thinking these days, usually. So thank you very, very much, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.